The Lord be with you.
With
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these 3, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There is often rivalry between nations or between parts of one nation. I recently heard of this story. It happened in Great Britain, where there's a lot of rivalry between Scotland at the northern part of the country and England, which is down at the lower part. The story was told about a Scottish man. He was granted a place in Oxford University in England. He was going to be living on the campus, staying in a dormitory. His family were very proud of the fact that one of their family was selected to go to this very special and unique college, a very exclusive place. He was going to be there with, he'd no friends going with him, and his mother worried about how he was going to do. So she let him settle in for a month, and then she phoned him to see how he was getting on. "How do you find those English students, Donald?" she said. "Oh, mother," he said, "they're a strange and noisy group. In my dormitory, there's a student living on my left-hand side, and he bangs his head on the wall constantly, all night long. There's another student in a dormitory on my right-hand side, and he screams and curses from the minute the sun goes down until it rises again." "Oh, Donald," said his mother, "how do you put up with such rude, noisy people?" I ignore them, Mother, said Donald. I just sit here quietly each night playing my bagpipes. So who is my neighbor? In his dialogue with the lawyer today, Jesus proves himself to be an expert in practical theology, the lived life of living Christianity. The lawyer had asked him, Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The lawyer knows the commandments. He knows that he must love the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, love his neighbor as himself. Jesus tells them that if he keeps these commandments, he will live. But that prompts another question from the lawyer. Who is my neighbor? Wouldn't it be lovely if we could figure out who my neighbor is? Wouldn't it be lovely if we could figure out where the border was and that we could love people up to the border and could be not caring for those beyond it? Where is the boundaries of where we should love? I remember telling the story about the Good Samaritan when I was visiting an elementary school. I read the story to the boys and girls in the class about how the poor man had been attacked. I then asked the children, why do they think that the Levite and why do they think that the priest passed by on the other side? Really, what I was hoping was that they would answer saying that, well, they were too shy and didn't want to interfere in what was obviously a sad situation. Or maybe they were going to answer they were afraid he was already dead and didn't want to become involved and maybe be blamed for his death. But the answer that came from the school child that put up his hand was unusual, not what I was expecting. He said that they walked by on the other side because the priest and the Levite had seen that he'd already been robbed and there was no point in trying it a second time. So they didn't understand what caring was really about. In the gospel account, it said that this man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and it's a good description for that road because Jerusalem was built on a hilltop. It is 2,300 feet above sea level. Jericho is near the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea is 1,300 feet below sea level. So it's definitely a journey down. In a distance of under 20 miles, you go from 3,600 feet above sea level to you drop 3,600 feet. The road has many sharp, twisting bends, which makes it easy for thieves and bandits to hide and attack you. But luckily, the road is well traveled. And in this story, the priest happened to pass by, but he hurried by on the other side. We could be charitable. Let's assume that he thought the man was dead. In that case, priests were forbidden to touch a dead body. Dead bodies were ceremonially unclean. Likewise, the Levite, when he saw the man and passed by on the other side, Levites too lived with the same prohibition concerning dead bodies. It was the Samaritan man who would come to help. The Samaritans were despised because they didn't pray as the Jewish people did, or especially as the Levites and the Pharisees could keep the Jewish law. Yet, it was like the recurring theme of all the Gospels, It was the outsider. Care and understanding came from an unusual source. It was the Samaritan who looked after the stranger, and not only looked after him, but went beyond the call of duty, giving money to the innkeeper to cover any additional costs. This young man, it was more than he could take, and he would walk away. In the gospel parable today, then, we hear three different philosophies to living. The first philosophy is the philosophy of the robber, and that philosophy could be summarized: what's yours is mine. What's yours is mine. The second philosophy is of the priest and the Levite. That philosophy could be summarized by, what's mine is mine. I don't want to interfere or become involved with anyone else. I look after my own business. The third philosophy was that of the Good Samaritan. What's mine is yours. As you live your Christian life, as you reflect on it, which of those philosophies do you live by? What's yours is mine. Am I tempted to grab what I can and look after me? What's mine is mine. Do I tend to say, I'm okay, no need to be concerned, I have all I need, I'm comfortable, I don't need to care anymore? Or is it, what's mine is yours, aware of the needs of those around me and trying to reach out? Today, as we hear the scriptures, we're tempted by that question, who is my neighbor? Speaking of who is my neighbor, I thought I'd better say a little about myself by way of introduction. Last week, we had Bishop Gabriel here, and I didn't want to cramp his style. You may know my name. I know I featured in the bulletin as Father Joe. So I come from a small village called Ballybritis in the county of Laois, which is about 50 miles south of Dublin. So in Holy Family Parish, you now got a trinity of Irish priests. I have an older brother and an older and younger sister. And my parents are retired now. My dad lives in Port Arlington, which is near the village I was brought up in, and my mother is in a care facility for the last 2 years. I qualified as a mechanical engineer before starting my studies for the priesthood with a religious order called the Missionaries of the Sacred Heart. In the middle of those studies, I transferred to my own diocese, which is of Kildare and Loughlin. I was ordained in 1998 and have worked in a variety of different assignments. I was a school chaplain at one stage. I have worked in urban and rural parish settings. And I finished up in the urban setting, the parish of Naas, where I met a certain Father Dennis Marr. You may have heard of him. That's my connection with Holy Family, and he invited me 2 years ago, and it became possible to come back. My hopes to come back this time last year were held up with a visa difficulty that, but I don't know what it was, but it's solved now, I hope. And while I was waiting, my bishop asked me to work with a deaf community. So I was learning sign language and working with a deaf community in Dublin for 6 months. And that 6 months ended the 30th of June, so I arrived just days afterwards. I wouldn't be here were it not for the kindness and the understanding of Cambria here in the parish, of Father or Monsignor Clem and Father Dennis, and Frank for being patient and confident the visa would come. Last October, November, when I still had heard nothing about the visa, I said to Monsignor Clem, look, you just need to go to the Archdiocese and get a priest from somewhere else, because I don't know whether I'm going to get the visa in 10 minutes or in 10 years. And they said, no, we're happy to wait. So just to say officially a thank you to Monsignor Clem and Dennis and Cambry and Frank for having patience, and yourselves who had the knock-on effect of having visiting priests from all over the place, and Frank arranging rotas of masses. So just very much appreciative of their patience and waiting for me. And I'm delighted to be here with you now, and my sole task to serve this Christian community and to serve God's word. So I look forward to doing both with you over the year ahead.